good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. In the 3 weeks since Governor Hogan killed the nearly $3 billion light rail project that would have connected East and West Baltimore, the city's been scrambling to figure out what next. Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford summarized what many planners are thinking when he suggested bus rapid transit. Rutherford told the Baltimore Business Journal last week, quote, "I think rapid bus is the way to go, at least pilot the idea," end quote. In simplest terms, bus rapid transit is mass transit that runs high-speed buses on dedicated lanes of roads. But the term can mean different things in different settings, so we've invited two experts to tell us the key elements of bus rapid transit, why it works where it works, and what the potential problems could be. With me here in the studio is Brian O'Malley, president and CEO of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance and Advocacy Group. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
And joining us on the line from the Institute of Transportation and Development Policy in Washington, D.C. is Jacob Mason. He's an urban planner and engineer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Brian, I understand Maryland already has spent $288 million on the Red Line, the light rail project that's now dead. What was that money used for?
Great question. That money was used for a whole series of steps that a region has to go through in applying for federal funding for a new public transportation infrastructure project like the one we're talking about. They studied alternatives, including bus rapid transit and light rail. They selected an alternative and then did environmental review as well as preliminary engineering, hours and hours of public involvement meetings, et cetera, to build the case to the federal government, to the Federal Transit Administration, that this is a project worth funding. And it scored very high in a very competitive process and was recommended by the FTA for full funding from the federal portion.
Well, let me zoom in on that alternative you mentioned, bus rapid transit. What would that have looked like in this corridor?
There were six alternatives that were studied. And that took place in the last decade. The alternatives analysis was published in September of 2008. And the alternatives for bus rapid transit included entirely running on the surface as well as with a lot of tunneling and some options in between. They also studied a couple of different alignments, including the one following Cook's Lane that ended up being chosen for a light rail option. And they evaluated each of them on a number of criteria, including cost effectiveness, estimated ridership, estimated travel time, et cetera. And the one that ended up performing best in that analysis was a light rail option with some tunneling, but not tunneling through the entire corridor.
Jacob Mason, describe for us how a successful bus rapid transit works.
Successful bus rapid transit has... We like to describe five elements that are critical to making the bus go faster. And really, these can apply to light rail vehicles. And those five things are dedicated lanes and lanes that are run in the center of the street rather than on the curb where they have to compete with drop-offs and pickups. A third thing is priority at intersections if it's running on the surface. The fourth thing is off-board fare collection, so you pay before you get on the bus. And the fifth thing is platform-level boarding, where the bus pulls up to a station, you walk right on, right off, you can roll a wheelchair right on and right off. And all of these things really make it, they put the rapid in bus rapid transit. Those are also true about light rail as well.
And let me just clarify one point. When you say priority at intersections, So a rapid bus system, the bus gets to go through and traffic crossing that intersection waits?
Yes, it just means that there's fewer phases for an intersection. So buses and cars that are going straight across the intersection can go, and it's really only restricting cars that want to turn across the busway. And so that means that there's fewer phases. So there's shorter signal cycles, so there's more time for green for the buses and for cars crossing on cross streets.
So Brian O'Malley, and I should say no relation to former Governor O'Malley, you're an advocate for the light rail. In your view, why did former Governor O'Malley choose light rail over bus rapid transit?
Number one, because of cost effectiveness. That was an overriding criteria that the Federal Transit Administration uses in evaluating these applications from different parts of the country. And the light rail option scored better on cost effectiveness than the bus rapid transit options that were studied. And so that compares the value of the benefits with the value of the cost of building the project.
So given that the light rail project would have been quite expensive, that means that it was judged more effective than rapid buses in pulling people out of their cars and moving them quickly?
Yes, I believe that's why it scored higher on the cost effectiveness model. It also, bus rapid transit also requires significant infrastructure, and I think it's important to make a distinction between Lieutenant Governor Rutherford's comment about rapid bus and true bus rapid transit. It may sound like the same thing to the untrained ear, but I think he chose his words very carefully there, and he was speaking about something that's not quite the same thing as bus rapid transit.
I want to get into that. Mm-hmm. Let me just say first, this is Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Brian O'Malley, President and CEO of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance, and with Jacob Mason, Transport Research and Evaluation Manager at the Institute of Transportation and Development Policy in Washington. On that point, what is the difference between, I got the impression perhaps Lieutenant Governor Rutherford was talking about express buses compared to
bus rapid transit.
Maybe I should ask, Jacob, let me ask you mm-hmm. to give us that difference.
Well, we like to say that bus rapid transit is an intense mass transit infrastructure. It involves stations, dedicated lanes, and it's a permanent thing on the streets, whereas sometimes rapid bus can be as little as just a sign on the road and fewer bus stops.
Jacob, I have the impression that American cities, those that have invested in bus rapid transit, are mostly sort of mid-sized cities like Albany, Eugene, Oregon, Kansas City. But in other countries, some very big metropolises have invested in bus rapid transit. Why the difference?
Well, there's several reasons. One of the biggest reasons is that in developing countries, big urbanized developing countries and big cities in those countries, there's really high transit ridership right now. A lot of people are on the bus. And when you have really high transit ridership, it's a lot easier politically to justify taking space on the street and dedicating it to transit vehicles. In the U.S., because there's such high car use, it's a harder political sell, often.
And that's what you're basically doing, is taking lanes away from existing traffic?
That's what we hope is done. In many cases, especially in developing countries, BRT will be implemented alongside roadway expansions as well. But we try to discourage that as promoters of sustainable transportation.
Brian, how do you see bus rapid transit working in the east-west corridor that the Red Line was supposed to serve?
It's no accident that a number of tunnel options were studied for bus rapid transit when the Red Line alternatives analysis was done. We have a dense downtown with a lot of significant north-south and radial movement in addition to that east-west corridor, and all those traffic flows have to cross one another in a downtown that has pretty narrow streets compared to some cities in the U.S. because of its age. And it's very difficult to make a surface option work that would have the signal priority and the lanes that it would need to run efficiently through downtown. And if you can't run it on the surface efficiently, then it's doing the same thing that regular bus service is, and you haven't achieved the rapid bus or rapid transit option that the Red Line corridor is meant to achieve.
But of course, the expense of the tunnel was part of what Governor Hogan cited in killing the Red Line light rail, was that the tunnels it would have needed were so expensive. Jacob, is there sort of a rule of thumb comparison of what it costs to build a real bus rapid transit system compared to what it costs to build light rail?
You know, it's a more tricky question to answer than it might appear. It really depends a lot on the context. Generally speaking, though, bus rapid transit requires fewer bits of infrastructure, such as overhead wires. So that can really reduce costs, but often, you know, the specifics of the actual corridors that are built. So, like, the Red Line has a huge tunnel segment, and so if it had a tunnel segment for buses, it would still be an expensive tunnel segment. Building a tunnel is expensive, whether you build it for buses or for rail. But generally speaking, we found that BRTs have tended to be about half as expensive as light rail systems. Whether those systems are exactly comparable is something that is difficult to say for certain.
Jacob, I just wanted to point out that when the bus rapid transit and light rail options were studied, the capital cost was lower for bus rapid transit, but the operating cost, the cost to operate and maintain it, was shown to be much higher.
Brian, if a decision were made to build bus rapid transit, what would it take in terms of time and money?
Governor O'Malley chose the alternative 4C for the Red Line, which was a light rail with some tunneling, in the summer of 2009. And we've spent the 6 years since then going through a number of other stages: architectural design of the stations, preliminary engineering of the route, environmental review, to get the approvals needed. And the state spent over $200 million. So setting the process back to explore a different alternative means something on the order of 5 to 6 years and millions of dollars to get it to the shovel-ready point that the Red Line is now.
That's what it would, so it would cost a lot more time, and what about money?
In the hundreds of millions of dollars.
This is obviously a discussion that's going to continue in Baltimore. I appreciate both of you giving us a chance to start it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Brian O'Malley is president and CEO of the Central Maryland Transportation Alliance. Jacob Mason is an urban planner and engineer with the Institute of Transportation and Development Policy. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. We try to get a clearer idea of what Lieutenant Governor Rutherford means by rapid bus, and we got a statement from Governor Hogan's office, quote, "There are currently a number of ideas on the table as alternatives to the Red Line. The Secretary of Transportation is reviewing options and is meeting with stakeholders to develop an affordable solution that will address Baltimore's needs," close quote. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, divorced from reality. Stay with us on 88.1.